Amen. Praise the Lord. It sure is good to be back tonight and see each of you. I've been real excited about getting back and just really been thinking a lot about the services that we had last week and into the weekend. And the Lord's just really, really been good to us. And I was thinking there while you were singing and the choir was singing, just how good that sounds. And then also just thinking about how good the Lord looks on you. I don't know how else to say it. There's, you know, you can see people smiling and being happy and what have you, but there's a little something special, a little something extra when it's the Holy Spirit, and that makes it sweet, I tell you. And I just thank the Lord so much for that. There's much to be in prayer about. We'll have our time of prayer tonight. We'll have our business conference tonight also. So just want to let you know about that and give you an update with Dad. So surgery went well. Things are going well there, And so the way the doctor explained it, they put a tube in between the vertebrae. So I guess it's kind of like a shock absorber kind of situation going on there. So but he's doing good. Mom's with him and all that good stuff. And I definitely appreciate your prayers along those lines. And there's much being prayer about. Those on the mend, still sickly and facing things and treatments. Just a lot to be in prayer for. Pray about, but there's also a lot to just be thankful for. Amen. Just so thankful. If you would like to, there's going to be going to a few different places tonight, but if you kind of want to follow through, it'd probably be good. I think it's good to highlight some scripture, and this isn't going to be all inclusive as far as the topic that we're talking about tonight, but I think it's some good outline points for us to look at. To kind of get things in our mind, and then I also hope that it will encourage you to go back and study. And that's the main thing. When we went through Victory Bible Institute, they told us on a regular basis, they're saying, listen, we're not teaching you everything, and we understand that, but they said, we're creating a skeleton. It's up to you to go back and put the meat on the bones there. And I'm like, you know, that's really good. And I'm thankful the Lord gives us time to do that, a lifetime, be the case sometimes to do that because it takes it. And we'll still never learn it all. But tonight, we're talking about the Godhead. Again, what we believe. We're going through our church constitution. And I find that very valuable in looking at what we believe. It's easy to maybe, and it's good, to focus on the gospel. But then when you start expanding out, and start seeing some different attributes about God, different parts of the gospel, I guess you could say. But one thing I've learned is you'll always find the gospel at the heart of it, at the center of it. And I thank the Lord for that. Tonight, again, we're talking about the Godhead. If you'd like to, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll start at the very beginning of the Bible, and we'll try to end up in Revelation. So we got time. We got time. We got time. Actually, believe it or not, that's kind of what we're doing. But not all of it. Not all of it. But Genesis 1:1, we'll start there in just a minute. But we're talking about the Godhead, and we, our church, we believe in the one triune God, eternally existing in three persons. You have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each co-eternal in being, co-identical in nature, co-equal in power and glory, and having the same attributes and perfection. So something I find very interesting about that, just kind of right off the bat, is you've got three different personalities, you've got three different parts there, but they all agree. And that's amazing. You never find probably two that agree on everything, but you've got three, and you see a lot about the nature of God that way. You think about before we were ever here, before the earth was created. You go back before creation, and you had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because they're all eternal. It'd be easy to say, well, Jesus didn't come along until he was born. He was present before the foundation of the earth. He was there. He's just as eternal as the Holy Spirit. He's just as eternal as the Father. And that's what's hard for us to comprehend. We, in our eternity, the way we look at it is we have a beginning, but we have no end. Our lives will continue on and on and on, either in heaven or hell. depending on the choices we make as far as the gospel. It hinges on that, but we have a beginning, but we don't have an end. God doesn't have a beginning, and God doesn't have an end. Remember, we're talking about eternity. All the way over here, eternity all the way over here, when we were talking about dispensationalism, all on the outsides, but you have that block of time that we're in now that you look at from creation until you get to the rapture, until you get to the millennial kingdom. So it's a lot to think about when you look at it like that, but that's how God created it to be. He made us, gave us the opportunity, gives us daily the opportunity to choose him or not to. That's the remarkable thing that I find consistently in learning more about the Bible, learning more about human nature, learning more about God's nature, is that for this thing to be what he wanted it to be, we have to have the ability to absolutely fail. We have to have the ability to absolutely be rebellious. We have to have the ability to absolutely fall in line. But it's all within our willingness. It's not about, if God wanted to jerk any one of us in line, that's nothing for him. That's nothing. You think about how he gives us our breath, he gives us our life. If he wanted to take that away from any one of us, he could do it instantly. And that's that. Of course, he has the power to do that. But he gives us grace, he gives us mercy, he gives us time to trust, time to follow, and he gives us just more grace and forbearance than I would ever give myself. It's amazing when I see it like that. But we have the definition, we have the word triune. It means three. It means three in one. So you have three different personalities, three different aspects of God, the Godhead. And to express the unity of the Godhead in a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, all co-eternal, forever and ever. They're identical. Even though they're different, maybe physically, they are identical in what they feel, what they believe, their thought process. And then they're also co-equal. They all have the same, they're all on the same plane. So it's something to think about as we look at that. And one of the verses that is given in our Constitution is Deuteronomy 6:4. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." It's talking about the different personalities, but he's one Lord. And if you look at Genesis, that's what I was saying there. We start off at Genesis, and you kind of see the right there at the beginning, Genesis 1:1, the way that it starts off in the Bible, and I think that's very telling for us. And the Bible doesn't go out, I've heard it said this way before too, the Bible doesn't go out to try to prove this or prove that. It just tells it like it is. It's up to man to believe it or not. That's the choice we have. But you look at, again, Genesis 1:1-2, and it says, "In the beginning, God," so that mentions God, I would say God the Father, "created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So if you stop and slow down a little bit and read it, so you see two of the aspects, two of the personalities right there already mentioned. You have God, who is the creator. Then you have the Spirit, who was moving. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. You remember that? And moved. The movement comes from the Spirit. So you're going to have to start seeing how God is. If you look at us, you're going to start seeing how God is. Now you say, "Now, Jason, be careful. Be careful what you're saying there." Well, look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. The more we learn about him, the more we're going to learn about ourselves. So Genesis 1:26. Anybody ever read Genesis 1:26 and was like, "Now wait just a minute. What's going on here?" I remember probably one of the first times I read that, and it staggered me. Because how many times have you heard there is one God? One God. Right? Well, reading this verse, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Well, that's a staggering comment. Who's us? Who is that? Who is that? If you're reading this for the first time, let's say a non-believer reading this for the first time, not a Bible student, never been to church, what's your thought process going to be after that? You know, it's something for us to consider. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So I say what I said about learning more about us. God made us in his image. Three parts. That, you know, you say, well, yeah, I know that. But really, really think about that. Three parts. So you slow down, you think, is there really three parts to God? Is there really three parts to the triune, the Godhead? There absolutely is. If you look at how humans are, we have, what do we have as human beings? We have a mind, a body, and a soul. It's three parts, right? Three parts. And so what I want us to look at tonight for just a few minutes is God's mind, God's body, and God's soul. He made us in his image. And I tell you, it's he made us to be like him in that we're supposed to emulate what he wants us to do. Just like we have earthly parents and we take traits from them, our genetics from them, once being born, reborn, born again into the family of God, God wants us to take on his traits. And again, whereas you and I can't, we can't pick our parents can't pick our kids, you know how that goes like that. But see, once being born again, we have the choice to be like him or not. Now, that's a daily choice. That's what we choose to do. So keeping in mind that there is the mind of God, the body of God, and then God's soul. Think about that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 55. Let's look there for just a minute. Isaiah chapter number 55. We'll look at verses 8 and 9. You remember in the Bible also it's saying that I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good, thoughts of it having an expected end. When you think about thoughts, I want you to think about God the Father. I want you to think about God's mind. Look what it says here. When you start seeing some things here, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord." You've got an infinite God in heaven looking down. He created us, created everything that we see. He created that, and he wants us to fall in line with his will, to seek his will, and to fall in line with it. So there has to be a thought process. It's not our thought process. It's not something we think up and then try to make the Lord or try to get him to see things our way and cause him to do things our way. He's got his thought process already set in place. God the Father has his thought process already set in place. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You ever start trying to think about the mind of God, you really have to start studying the Bible. If you're really wanting to see kind of what he's thinking, see where he's at, we can't even see into heaven. The technology and the things that mankind has, what we have, it's pretty remarkable. You start seeing the Milky Way, you start seeing galaxies and things like that. Once it's been magnified, you can see it. But you still can't see where God sits in heaven. You can't see where he is at tonight. He is that much further, that much higher than what we are. So when you think about God's mind is what created the heavens and the earth. God's mind is what created everything that we see, not mankind. So when you look at this triune Godhead, God the Father is the mind behind everything you see, what you see. God the Father's mind is what is behind the Word of God. It's his Word. It's him. That's the mind. God the Father, you think about the mind. You say, that's pretty interesting. Well, you know God has a body. Let's go to John chapter number 14. I'll try not to be too lengthy tonight with this. I know we got a business meeting, things to do. And the Lord plainly tells us, God tells us his thoughts are not our thoughts. We're supposed to seek out his way of thinking, his way of doing things, and thank the Lord he gave us a Bible that we could study and look at that. Didn't leave us wondering and guessing. You think about the body of God. We teach on this and preach on this a lot. It's important. Again, when I was a young fella trying to figure things out and learn things, I would use God and Jesus interchangeably, and maybe partly right, but there's two different personalities there. You got to see who's doing the talking, who's saying what, and what is being said to who when you start looking at things this way. But I tell you this, you cannot, most of us know this, but you cannot get to heaven without Jesus. I want you to know that. I can't overstate that. A lot of people that I've tried to witness to, cold witnessing, people have no idea who they are, what they believe in. Topic comes up, we start talking about it. They start saying God a lot. You'll hear people say God a lot. God, God. Then you'll take it a step further with some people. They'll say, well, I believe there's a higher power. I believe that. You really got to hone in on who Jesus is. You have to. There's no other way around that. So I want you to plainly, clearly understand that, what we believe in our faith, our Baptist faith. And I know that can vary between denominations, what have you. But what we believe, what I believe, is that you have to know, you must know and understand who Jesus Christ is. That's the body of God. That's the body. You think about it, having a physical body, you're going to see that in Jesus Christ. One of the things that said, you believe in God, you believe also in me, when he was talking to his Jewish brethren, they had no problem saying that there's a God. They had no problem believing in God. But when they looked at Jesus, they thought he was nothing more than a teacher. They thought, man, you're a smart person. You know a whole lot. You know a whole lot of things. And a matter of fact, you know so much that God would have to be with you, the things that you know. But they could not and would not see that he himself was God. They couldn't see that. They were blinded to that fact. But John 14:9, and you see here, let me get on the right page here. So he's been explaining things to them. He's saying here, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He's talking about somebody he physically walked with. Somebody, this is a disciple. So it's not a non-believer, it's a disciple. And he's saying here, I'll read this again. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast not thou known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So he's saying, he's talking about that personality. You see, God was right there with these people. And so many people missed it. You look at Judas, one who blatantly missed it. But so many people missed it. He said, I've told you so long, I've been with you this long, and why are you asking us? Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You see, that's the mind of God. If you go back and you read what Jesus said, it was always, I must do the works of my Father. That means the Father was the thought process. The Father was the mind behind what Jesus Christ was doing. And so what he was able to do, what he did in the physical body where we mess up, he was able to align God's mind with the flesh. And see, that's what he wants to accomplish in every single one of us. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to align. He wants our minds to align with our bodies and do the will of God. That's what he is teaching us and telling us to do. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. You see, it wasn't a self-will. Jesus admitting it wasn't a self-will, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me because I'm fulfilling what God has told me to do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. He's saying, you have this ability. Now, you and I are not God, but we have the ability to call on him through the Spirit, through the body of Jesus Christ and what he completed on the cross. I want to go to another place. Let's go to Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke 3:22. So you think back to Jesus here himself and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you will, and how this came down. If you read chapter 3 all the way down, when you get down to verse 22, getting on down here at the end, it says here, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape. So now you're seeing this third personality. You're talking about the soul, the spirit, the way the Bible teaches it. We understand we have a soul, but Jesus, of course, needed no saving. He was perfect, so he is the Spirit. He has the Spirit. That's where you and I are incomplete after the fall of Adam. It says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven. Now, you see different parts moving. You had the voice of heaven. That's God. That is God speaking here. The voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, and in thee I am well pleased. If you look at this verse here, you will absolutely see all three personalities in one verse. You have the Holy Ghost that is descending in a bodily shape. So that creates one being, one person, one shape. And like a dove upon him, then a voice came from heaven, God the Father, the mind, still in heaven, which saith, thou art my beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the body, in thee I'm well pleased. So you see how all three of these coming together. Now, human beings are born with a mind, a body, and a soul, but we lack one thing. After the fall, let's go to Revelation chapter number 3. I'm getting ready to close here with this. We'll keep it short tonight. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. But after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we became two-thirds, not three-thirds, not a whole. We were lacking in something. That's where the choice comes in. That's where decision-making time comes in. So we have a mind, and we have a body. We have that soul, but that soul is empty. Something needs to take place with that soul. And you look down here, I know this is the Lord talking here. He's talking to one of the churches that's represented here in Revelation. You go back and you see here the church at Sardis had Jesus on the outside. A lost person has Jesus on the outside. He wants to be on the inside. So that's the importance. It's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And that's important for us to know. You see here, talking to this church, the same would apply to a lost person today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You have the will of the Father, the mind. You have the completed work of the body of Jesus Christ on the cross, what he did. And now, what we have in this day and time, after when the Spirit came down, after the day of Pentecost, now you have the Holy Spirit. You have the interdwelling, the opportunity to have interdwelling. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's how we become a completed three-thirds person, a whole person after accepting Christ. I really want you to know and understand tonight. I'm going to stop there, and I know this is probably definitely more along the lines of teaching and preaching, but that's representative of the gospel. I want you to see that and understand that. But the importance of accepting it. The importance of accepting him, asking him to come in your heart, asking him to save you, repent of your sins. That conviction that you feel as a lost person, that's the Lord talking to you. That's how he deals with us. That's how he deals with you. He's knocking on your heart. He's trying to convince you. He's trying to talk to you. He wants to come in and have a relationship with you. He wants to sup with you, as the Bible says there. But I'm going to stop there tonight. I know it's probably maybe just a tad short, but we got other things to tend to tonight. But I want to ask, does anybody have anything they'd like to mention tonight about the lesson?